In the kitchen of Cat Griffith's home in rural Metamora, a pan of recently roasted pumpkin seeds sits on the stove. Bottles of nutritional supplements nestle in the corner of the counter, and on the kitchen table is a musical birthday card. Sitting in the living room, her boxer dog Apollo at her right, Cat Griffith grins and accepts the greetings of the day. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Can I ask which one it is?
29 again.
Actually, Griffith fesses up to 42. It's a milestone she was warned she'd never reach. At her left on the sofa is a pile of medicine bottles.
So there's one I take, two, three, four, five.
As she counts up the medications she must take, Griffith reflects on another milestone. The day she learned she was HIV positive. It was 1992.
May 26th, 2:15 in the afternoon.
Griffith was 21 years old and attending college in Colorado.
To say it was traumatic would be an understatement.
Given 2 years to live, Griffith quit school 1 week before finals and flew to Tennessee to be with her ailing boyfriend, the one who had infected her. On the journey, Griffith read a book she says completely changed her outlook. Love Medicine and Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel touts the philosophy of healing the life rather than the disease.
I have always been a head-on person. The way that I thought about life and this disease and all of those things really was impacted by that book.
Griffith went back to college and today is a social work graduate student at Illinois State University. She improved her diet, exercised, and took up meditation. Griffith also takes her HIV drug cocktail. Most recently, true to her head-on fashion, she's become an HIV activist. She attended the International Conference on AIDS in Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Conference on AIDS in Las Vegas this past summer. Griffith says she's still uncomfortable speaking publicly about her fight, but feels it has to be done to fill the silence that has fallen around HIV in this country.
Nobody's talking about it anymore.
So many people were dying before. It was like a battlefield.
Michael McGinn heads up the Peoria-based group Central Illinois Friends of People with AIDS. He says learning how to fight HIV kept it in the headlines in the 80s and 90s.
There were no antiretroviral therapy regimens. They didn't know how to combat it.
McGinn says when the drug cocktails came along, the disease was pushed off the front page. Dr. Donna McCree with the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta agrees and says medical advances have created a false sense of security in the public's mind. She says effective treatments have led to the belief that HIV is not a major health threat anymore.
Once we saw the advent of the effective treatments and people being tested and linked to care, then there was sort of a decrease in having HIV discussions right out at the forefront.
But that's not all. McCree says there's still a significant amount of stigma associated with HIV/AIDS, even after 3 decades of grappling with the disease.
That can sort of keep individuals from talking about it. That's one of the things we want to address, that is taking aim at the apathy and at the stigma that sort of helps fuel HIV in this country.
I am one of more than a million people living with HIV in the U.S.
The CDC is taking aim with the launch of a new campaign, Let's Stop HIV Together, which focuses on getting HIV back on the radar of all Americans. Michael McGinn, with the Central Illinois Friends of People with AIDS, says activism can break down the walls of stigma and that people like Cat Griffith can bring a strong voice to the discussion. Griffith acknowledges that she makes people squirm by talking about HIV because they realize just how vulnerable they are to the disease.
Anytime, usually, when you get the how did you get it question, what's behind that is how can I differentiate myself from you? And how can I see myself as different from you so that I know that I can still keep doing what I'm doing and not have to worry?
Griffith knows the discrimination too well. She has advanced kidney failure and is currently on a transplant list.
Just in the last couple of days, I've heard a couple of different people say, why would you give a kidney to her? She's going to be dead anyway. And that's just kind of the general kind of thought. And it's also prevalent in the medical profession as well. There's doctors that think that.
According to the CDC, there are 1.1 million Americans living with HIV. 1 in 5 are unaware they're infected. 50,000 people are newly infected every year. Donna McCree from the CDC says there needs to be an open discussion of HIV, as with other chronic diseases.
We want to get that conversation back out there and keep it out there so we can have an impact on what's going on.
Michael McGinn from Friends of People with AIDS says activism from Kat Griffith and others can help spur interest in new research and get pharmaceutical companies to seek a cure.
They're doing wonderful work in trying to really work with bone marrow and affecting the cells' regenerative process of not regenerating the disease and new cell work. So I think it's very encouraging.
Griffith tries to remain positive, using social media as a part of her activism and education about HIV. But she feels more people need to come out as HIV positive and become activists. Meanwhile, Griffith refuses to give in and fights on against the disease and its stigma.
In a lot of cases, people still see me as dying, and here I am 21 years later, still not doing it.
Griffith hopes a cure will eventually put her out of the activism business. In the meantime, she's speaking at the Methodist Medical Center in Peoria at an event that marks World AIDS Day. I'm Laura Kennedy.